Never before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Yes, episode 133 of The Sports Trench is here. Another great weekend of football just gone. Speaking of great men, Foolsy.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Self?
Yeah, not too bad. What's happening?
Very good. Not much, the usual, just living life, loving life, looking forward to Easter.
Mm.
Yep.
Yep. Anything yep. else?
I was looking at your tie.
Yes.
That's a good tie, and I've been looking for a black tie, so can I have it?
No.
Okay. Worth a chance.
You know you can go into any shop and probably get a black tie.
Yeah, but they're always about like, oh, I can have money for that, and I'm just like,
And you're just not about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I just don't like that.
No.
I just don't love that interaction.
Actually, your tie's quite nice.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's got a few patterns on
it's
it.
It's got a little bit of patterns.
Yeah, a bit of pink and purple.
Yeah, and you've got a nice tie clip there. I've been looking for
it's a
nice
good tie clip. It's a good tie clip.
Yep. Can I have it?
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Oh, okay.
Since you asked nicely.
Yeah, cool.
Actually, I think your mother might have given me this.
She's a good egg.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Had it for a few years.
There could be a joke there. Let's not make it.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, all prepared for Africa, mate, or what?
Nah.
Oh, nah. Good.
Nah, haven't finished everything.
Tying your hair up now, I see.
Yeah, I'm looking very nice, aren't I?
It looks horrendous.
It looks very cute.
It's getting much worse.
It's adorable.
Speaking of adorable, Muffy, how are you?
I must have missed the memo about the ties this morning.
Yeah, God.
I think you miss it every week.
Yep. Mm. I'm still in my jammies. You notice this shirt, Foolsy?
It says Santa on it.
You know what it is?
I believe... I can't remember.
That's a good story.
It's part of that random present that you bought with matching pajamas.
That's right.
Yep.
See, you don't even remember I try the to remember. You buy people.
No, that's because I buy so many because I'm a generous chap.
And you buy random stupid crap.
Yeah, I do.
Mm.
I do.
Mm. Anyway, yes, how are you, Muffy?
Yeah, good. Big events in the last week. Huge events.
What's been happening?
All the finals of MAFS was on, Pete. That was just explosive TV. Game of Thrones kicked off yesterday. Foolsy, let's talk.
He can't talk.
So I'm on episode 6 of season 7.
Oh.
I'm doing a catch up.
Well, let's talk MAFS then.
Oh my God.
What a show, Pete.
Tremendous.
I don't want to talk about that right
now. It was good.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's not mind blowing. It's trash. It's the worst.
It's trash.
Exactly.
It is the worst, which makes it the best.
Yeah.
No, I'm not in on any of this crap. You guys are the worst.
Oh.
Lads.
Mm.
I had a loss at the weekend in basketball.
Oh, no.
It wasn't good.
Well, big loss.
Yeah, look, we didn't go well. Let's just say that.
How much did you lose by?
Well, we were down 22 at one point.
Ooh.
We got it back to 13.
That's not that bad.
In garbage time, though. So it doesn't really count for
anything. It could be worse.
It could, but it's could be a lot better, too. Anyway, that's unfortunate. Now we've got a break. We'll take Easter off. We'll recoup. Recoup and get our stuff together and hopefully...
Bit of training.
Yeah. Look, a wise man once said
that
you must play for the full 40 minutes.
Yeah. You wouldn't take that advice for basketball, though, because it's 48.
Well, no, my comp's 40.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you can take
that. I was
going
to say, maybe that's why they lost 13-0. They played that 8 minutes. Was a killer.
So, a basketball game's 40 minutes.
Yep. Okay. Mm. Heard a rumor about you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, rumor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heard you hit 5 threes on Monday night.
I may have.
Yeah, yeah, good job. You know, that's nice.
Just I shot 12.
Yep. That's all right.
So
that's all right.
Look, considering this comp that I'm playing in last season, I shot a paltry 28% for the entire season.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, it was not good.
I saw the stat line. It was a classic Pete Herak.
It was pretty
good. It was 0 of 1 from 2, 5 of 12 from 3.
Yeah. The 1 from 2, I posted up on a guy. And proceeded to throw the ball about 4 foot over the ring. So I went, nah, let's go back to what I know and I'll just sit out.
Just,
on the
camp on the perimeter. Yeah. I love it.
15 points, 5 boards, 2 assists.
Five assists, two steals. According to the stat line I've seen.
Nah, it was 5 boards, 2 assists.
Still very good.
2 steals and a block.
A block!
And 2 turnovers.
Oh, lovely. Excellent.
Not a bad stat line. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yep. You can just call me Joe Ingles Jr.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Sweet.
As thrilling as this conversation is between you two clowns.
Yes.
I was sorry. I was just taken back by Pete's very kissable face. Yeah. I wasn't listening to any stats.
God. Oh, God. That's just true, actually.
A fearless leader's kissable face.
Oh. I thought it was the fact that that's not what the review was. It was sounds like he's got a
kissable face.
Sounds like he's a good kisser. That's what it was.
I have something. I have a. I was talking a few weeks ago about new listeners to the show.
Mm.
Now, there is a person that I work with is a new listener. Now, I have to have a shout out to her. Name is Caitlin. She listened to it for the first time, and she's like, which one is the one with the kissable face? And she listened to it, and she goes, oh, I think it's probably... She goes, yeah, I could see this guy. And I was like, which one is it? It was Pete.
Oh, my gosh.
It holds up, Pete. It holds up. The voice.
Beautiful.
So and I said, so the voice holds up with the kissable face.
Well, I said, it's a shame. I said, because he does have a face for radio.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
That seems a bit rich coming from you.
Whoa. All right. What a
shots fired. This
what an ugly morning.
Well, yes. Good morning, Caitlin. You're very much correct. let's move on then, shall we? What do we got today? We got Ward 4, as per usual. Round 5 review. Round 6 preview. I got another winning bet, lads. I'll gloat about that a bit later on. But before all that, we should probably do the news.
The good, the bad, and the...
GIs.
From the trenches.
GIs.
Yeah, multiple GIs.
Mm-hmm.
The good and the bad.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. GI retired this week, lads.
Mm.
He's gone. That's it. End of an era. Mm. What do we think?
He had a very good career. It's good that Souths can free up some cap space for Darry B and... Everyone's happy.
I don't think Darry B's going
there. I think he is.
Do you honestly believe that?
No, I don't think so.
The rumor I've heard is Clint Gutherson.
Jeez.
Because the Eels' offer was not very good.
For next year, not for this year.
Yeah, for next year. But he's off contract, and whilst the Eels came with a revised offer, there's some money in the cap there now.
Too much money on Mitch Moses dominating every week.
Mm. Well, he has been playing quite well, Mitch, again this year, so that's been interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, GI, talking about, let's get back on topic here. Do we think he should be a future immortal?
No.
No?
No.
Really?
Nah. Because, I mean, it's a pretty exclusive club at the moment, and there's at least 3 contemporaries who I think were better than him during his career, so...
Look, I think there are 3 that...
maybe arguably 4.
I think there's probably 3, and yeah, there could be 4 even. I don't agree with Lockyer, but I know a lot of people do, and weight of numbers sometimes does get you over the line. But it's interesting to hear the argument. At his absolute best, I would say yes.
Yeah.
The problem was his absolute best was few and far between because of injuries and stuff like that. His early career was excellent.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, you know, the last probably, you know, 4 or 5 years, probably after the 2014 grand final, he really struggled with injuries, knee injuries in particular. Which is a shame because it did take away from how good he was at the start. Like he was, you know, he burst onto the scene, what is it, a 17-year-old in first grade. And just basically unstoppable as an 18-year-old. He was just undefendable for the Storm. He ended up playing 264 games. He played 32 games for Queensland, 39 for Australia. Played 4 All-Star matches. So he's, you know, representative-wise, he's definitely up there.
Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah, again, only 32, but you could see all the football that he's played, and because he's played it, it started at such a young age. I think, yeah, that's all taken its toll on Paul Gregory.
Yeah, he won a Churchill in 5'8", and he won a grand final, obviously, at 5'8". Best position for GI? Where do we think it is?
Centres, honestly. I think the best football he played was in the centres. I don't think we saw the best of him at fullback.
Oh, I don't know. The year they won the grand final, he was phenomenal. The argument was between him and Slater. They were arguing that Slater should retire because GI was that good that year.
Yeah, that year. But I think consistently, I think his best position consistently was definitely in the centres.
Oh, look, that was particularly where he was at the representative level, I think he was the most destructive and damaging.
He also gave, like, Darry B a lot of tries out on the wing for Queensland.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He was phenomenal in those rep teams in the centres, and he was an excellent centre. I'm just saying there was an argument there for probably about 2 years where he was probably the best fullback in the game. Yeah. And the argument was that Slater should probably retire because he was having injury problems himself.
It would have been interesting to see young Greg Inglis play a bit more fullback. Storm Greg Inglis, but...
Yeah, because he played wing a lot there and then moved into the centres and then 5'8", his second year. So he didn't really get that opportunity as well because of Slater. So if he had gone to a fullback, you think maybe he transitions and plays there for a lot longer and maybe transitions to 5'8" later on in his career.
Yeah, very true. And I think... am I right in saying that he's got the record for the most tries for Queensland? Is that correct?
I think so, yes.
I think he does as well.
Yeah. I think you might have one more than Boyd or something like that.
That's pretty good from a New South Welshman from Barraville to get the most tries for Queensland. He's done pretty well there, Gregory.
Well, let's not hold that against him. Did he score one of the best tries that we'll ever see at rep level? Oh, no, did he have a hand in one of the best tries at rep level in the centenary test one?
Yeah, the one where he just literally just chucks... I think, is it Gaznia scored that try?
Yeah, Gaznia scored it.
Yeah, and he just threw it over his head, full extension. Yeah, that was pretty special.
That was a pretty phenomenal try. He was a freak of an athlete. He'll be missed to the game for sure.
The only problem with that try is when it keeps getting replayed, you're like, who are they playing for? What is that jersey that they've got on?
It's the centenary test jersey.
Yeah, but it doesn't look great.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Yeah.
Bring back the green and gold, Pete.
I liked it. But anyway,
I hated it.
All right, good. It was blue and maroon.
Yeah, it was
awful. We know what it was.
Yeah, the two coming together. The two states coming together.
Yeah, but I didn't like it.
No, okay, good. All right, well, as long as you didn't like it.
Say it.
All right, moving on. Sad to lose GI to the game. Anyway, moving on to the next story. Trust the process, boys. And a nice little Joel Embiid reference there. The Cowboys blowing up after the injury to Nene McDonald at the weekend. Play continued on for a number of tackles until Cameron Munster kicked it and then was taken out, and that's when play stopped. When Nene was in serious trouble. What do we think? The refs have both been sacked now this week, and they're both either on touch lines or in reserves. Did we think this was process gone mad? Should they have stopped the game? Or is this the NRL's fault for putting out an edict and then blaming the referees for following that edict?
No, I think just based on some of the evidence over the weekend, I think this was just an isolated incident where the referees didn't pay attention enough, because there was other instances in other games where players went down pretty quickly for, you know, for a lot, you know, not as bad an injury as what poor old Nene got. And the clock
Peyton Guerra had one as bad as Nene, but yeah.
But the clock was stopped pretty quickly. So I think, and looking at the replays, yes, they were, like there was people yelling probably 15 metres away at the touch judge to say, we need to stop the clock. But no one actually went, not the footage that I saw, no one actually sort of went up and explained, like, hey, we really need to stop this. They were yelling at the touch judge from a while ago. And again, that could just be, they probably get yelled at a fair bit, and whether that was just like, oh, look, it's nothing. I haven't quite heard it properly, or it's just, yeah, they're yelling at me once again type thing. Like, I don't know the touch judge actually knew exactly the extent.
No, there's a different part to that story. There was one trainer on the sideline with the attention of the touch judge.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the right colored shirt trainer. So
the trainer was saying,
or it was a water boy. It was someone in a blue shirt
saying,
saying, look, you need to stop the game, stop the clock, because look, that injury is serious. And so then they were also yelling and trying to stop the game as well.
Yeah, right. Well,
and so it's supposed to be the yellow shirt trainer supposed to talk to the touch judge, and the touch judge.
But the yellow shirt trainer was there
on the field
looking at a backward foot.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So that's part of the problem with the whole issue.
Yeah, yeah. I think standing. You know, that was a pretty gross oversight, the amount of play that went on after that. And that was a pretty significant... And there was not just one play down, there was two plays down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think a bit of a stint on the sidelines or in reserve grade or wherever they need to be for a couple of weeks just to...
It'll be 1 week. Yeah. We don't have enough high-quality referees to cover the games.
So, I mean, I don't have a problem with them being stood down, and I think, yeah, they definitely should have done something about it. But, again, you know, mistakes happen. These things happen.
Woolsey.
Yeah, I don't love standing down refs all the time and the kind of message that sends.
I'm with you.
Yeah, they probably messed up. How many times is a guy lying down and pretending, you know what I mean? Like, yes, they should have stopped it, but I can see how it happens, and I don't think standing him down is the right decision.
Yeah, I think they've put a process in place. They've clearly not trained the referees properly in said process. And a mistake has been made, and now you're like, well, it's all the ref's fault. Well, maybe your policy might need some revision.
A little bit of tweaking.
Yes. Anyway, all right. That brings us to the end of the news, so we shall move on to Ward 4, shall we?
Messy me, that could have put him in Ward 4.
The sports trenches.
I hope not, Bill. That's a maternity ward.
Ward 4.
A few injuries this week, boys. Matt Lodge has a throat injury. He's out until round 7. Joseph Tapene has an ankle injury. He's out until round 17. Suaso Su, he has been suspended. He's out until round 8. AJ Brimson has a finger injury. He's out until round 9. Adam Fanua Blake is also suspended. He's out until round 8. Aiden Guerra, he has an ankle injury, and it wasn't quite nay-nay bad, but he broke both his tibia and fibula. Or fibula, one of them. I don't know which one it is. Anyway, ankle, round 22. Nene McDonald, ankle, he's done for the season, it looks like, which it's probably fair enough. His ankle was at a right angle and shouldn't look like that. Isaac Liu has a finger injury. He's out until round 7. And Joseph Manu has been suspended. He's also out till round 7. Brings us to the end of Ward 4, Jets.
Good job, man.
It was very precise, Pete.
Ah, you know, got to be quick here. All right, move on to the round 5 review.
Oh, you're too quick.
Oh,
you're far too quick for me.
What else were we going to do?
Well, I don't know. How about you? No, don't talk amongst yourselves. That's a bad idea.
We should go back to my stat line from Monday night. Like, do you want me to review each play?
Like, yes,
each
thanks.
Three that I took?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you could do that.
The sports trench.
Boom. Two goes at that one. All right.
Yep. Seamless ads.
Don't think so. Anyway.
Oh, good. There's a nice little interlude.
There is
a
nice little interlude.
Do.
Anyway. Round 5 review time. Thursday, 11 April. Tigers 22 defeating the Broncos 14. Muffy.
I'm going to harp my way through this, Pete. This is very soothing, relaxing. It needs to be, I think, because the Broncos... They need some soothing and relaxing music. What do we think of the Broncos, boys? Are they cooked? Because started off well in this game. Nice try to Gillette at the start of the game. It was actually a pretty well-worked try, to be honest. And then the Tigers just kept on hanging in there. And, yeah, look, I don't know. I was always just have this thing that the Broncos, you know, they probably might lose two in a row, but they'll never lose more than two in a row. And particularly at home, they should be fine. They're not playing well. Their halves are not playing well. Seabold's increasingly under pressure, but I don't think it's generally his fault. I mean, they had a pretty sort of lackluster off season because of all the turmoil with the coaching staff. Yeah, look, I'm worried for Broncos. I honestly don't think that they... I don't think they're going to be in the eight. And I think they could be further out of the eight than what we might think. For the Tigers, again, they had a they had a few little hiccups in the last few weeks, but everyone's talking about Josh Reynolds, how well Josh Reynolds is playing, and what's going to happen when Benji comes back into the team. It'll be interesting to think. Interesting to see. I think Josh Reynolds will probably, I think he will probably make way for Benji just straight off the bat. And if Benji can't produce in the first couple of weeks, then I think there might be a bit of a force change. But to the Tigers' credit, look, Luke Garner is going from strength to strength at second row. They found him. I don't know where they found him, but he's been playing well, and I think he scored in every game bar one, I think, this year. So he's a bit of a revelation. And I suppose we can't talk about this game without not talking about that run by Cheekham at the end of some...
It was okay.
It was a pretty lackluster...
Darry B's D was terrible.
Well, the line was not there. But again, Cheekham sort of dummied, and I don't think they realised what he was doing. I don't think he even knew what he was doing, and all of a sudden he found himself in a hole and ran away and got caught by the coattails by Milford, but managed to drag him over the line and score. And look, that was that was huge, and it just showed the Broncos. I can't see the Broncos of old doing that. Like, never would they have sort of given up or have a broken line like that. They just looked tired as well.
Mm.
So, 22-16 for this one, and the Tigers are sort of, got their momentum back. They've had a couple of tight losses, and they're back on track. But, the Broncos, if you're a Broncos fan, I'd be a bit concerned.
Yeah, look, I think we were going to answer that in our Q&A area, but no.
Oh, were we? Right.
Yeah, no, that's good reading the run sheet there, but anyway.
Matt, I'm just alive at all topics.
All right. Mm. Friday, 12 April, Titans 30, defeating the Panthers 24. Fulzy, what is going on at your club?
Yeah, big trouble. Pretty bad, thanks.
It looks very similar to the Broncos, this does.
Yeah.
The Panthers started well with Jimmy Maloney going over early, running straight through the middle, which he should be doing more of. He should be attacking the line, and he did a really good job to break the line there, get an easy try, which was good. And then the Titans just came back and looked much, much better. $1.25 Tyrone went over. Anthony Don went over in the space of 3 minutes, and all of a sudden you were down 12-6. Kikau was a positive. He got over for a try. But then Michael Gordon goes over again, and you're down 18-12 at the break.
Six disconnected.
And so, it was pretty tough. Start second half, you started well. James Fisher-Harris and Josh Mansell both went over. You're in front. And then it was just all Titans again. This game just was back and forth the whole time. Titans... Bryce Cartwright got lucky to get a try, which made our matchup a lot more close than it should have been. Mm. But anyway, Titans go in front, and it was in Michael Gordon's 250th game.
Yeah, he did a pretty good shooey after the game, actually.
Did he?
He did.
See the shooey.
What a chief.
But Panthers, just too many errors in this game once again, letting them down. Too many penalties at key times, which just hurt you guys a lot.
There's a lot of issues. Like, the backs have been horrendous.
What's wrong with Josh Mansell?
I don't know.
But he's not good.
He's borderline out of that side, especially when you consider he does not jump on any kick.
He is
and
not
that's
good.
A problem in the modern NRL for a winger.
Yeah, he has been bad.
He's got to find his running game again, and it might be time to look at moving him to the second row, But then I just don't know. The other problem is Maloney has significantly more touches than Cleary, and I don't think that's reflective of how good Cleary is compared to Maloney, and that's got to change. But, big problems.
Yeah, it's not looking very good.
Mm.
Mm. Sacked Hook.
Yeah, no, that's still the right move. He's a bad coach.
Bringing back Ivan?
No.
Was that the right move?
Yeah.
You reckon it was?
Yeah, it's still five games in. We've had big injuries.
The coach is responsible for managing Maloney Cleary issues.
He is. Maybe he's trying to find his feet. I don't know. I'm still
absolutely Hook needed to go.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to ask the question. All right, moving on then. Friday, 12 April, Storms 18, defeating the Cowboys 12, Fulzy.
Not a particularly inspiring win for Melbourne, who started very poorly and really struggled to complete their sets in the first half. Cowboys, as a result, got out to an 8-point lead, but the Storm got back into it to have it cut to 2 by halftime. The Storm won the middle of the portion of the game, and that was enough to get it done. We've already discussed not stopping the play and did the refs deserve to be axed. But a few other talking points. Cameron Smith is now the leading point scorer ever in the NRL. And what do you guys think about Josh Maguire? Because Munster not making a complaint, is that sufficient to let him off with that eye gouge?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
We haven't heard if the review panel's actually said anything.
They said there's not enough evidence.
Yeah.
Which is outrageous, because anyone sitting on a couch anywhere could see what it was.
Yeah. Now, anyone that does anything like eye gouging or that sort of stuff is just an absolute horrible human being and should be, and they should come down on it pretty harshly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. This was a terrible game of football.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It was just, the Storms were horrendous with the ball in hand. Mm. They dropped the ball set after set, could not complete. It was unbelievable. And the Cowboys just hung in there tough, but they just don't have any of the finishers of the Storm. So if they had anyone who could...
an Adokar.
Yeah, finish a backline movement.
Cameron Munster.
Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, other than Michael Morgan, who's been very good.
Yeah,
but he's carrying a side at the moment without Lolo.
Yeah, and the Granville's time has got to be close to done, but the backup is Kurt Baptiste. Like, that's a rough situation. And then Asiata is having to play a lot of second receiver, which
is playing well.
Like, he is a very good player. I'm a huge fan.
He's doing a really good job.
But when you've got Taumalolo out and all these guys out, you need him in the forwards because he's a big unit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Rough year for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think so. And lucky escape for the Storms. Saturday, 13 April, Rabbitohs 28, defeating the Warriors 24 in what is another lucky escape. Warriors were the much better side in this game for majority of the game. Cody Walker was just magic.
Problem was the Warriors were the better side, but Cody Walker was by far the better player.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. And he did it in a myriad of ways. He kicked for himself. He ran at the line. He just was unbelievable in this. I can't explain how good he was in this game, and I would be picking him for Origin at this point in time.
Come on, mate.
Yeah, that's...
I would.
That's pretty reactionary.
I'd be picking him. He's been the best 5'8 in the comp.
Cleary's been better.
No, Luke Keary's going to get picked as half. That's the rumour.
Cleary and Keary, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Nah, I do not think so. Cleary should not be picked. He is not good enough, and he's playing in a poor side at the moment.
I think it'll be Cleary and Keary, and I can't wait to hear Rabs trying to call that game.
I don't think it should be. I think Cleary doesn't have the game management at all, and I think if you're going to pick Keary, who is a good kicker, I think you need a ball runner, and I think Cody Walker could be that ball runner. I really do. I think it's probably going to be Keary and Maloney that are the two that are going to get picked.
Oh, yucky.
Well, yeah. If your theory on Cleary is the same, then surely Maloney can't get in there either.
Oh, I agree. I don't think Maloney should get in there, but I think that's what they're going to pick.
Hmm.
I don't think Cleary's been good enough this year.
Well, how many rounds left? 7 or something?
There's about 6. Yeah, 6 rounds before...
Yeah, he's got time to turn it around.
He does have time to turn it around, but are the Panthers going to turn it around? I don't think so.
I don't know.
And I think he's just been poor to start the year. Anyway, outside of that, Damian Cook was also phenomenal in this game. Just storming through the middle of the field, just making people look silly. He is just so good. For the Warriors, Chanel Harris-Tavita, he was very good for them, setting up a try, and his general in-play kicking was very good as well. He's been a bit of a find, considering Kieran was the starting halfback at the start of the year, but And it looks like it's his place to lose now. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck as well, phenomenal. Scored the first try and just absolutely dominant. Got the most line breaks this year, RTS, and he is pretty unstoppable himself. Other than that, though, boys, a high-scoring affair. Rabbitohs got lucky to get away with it.
Yeah, they did. But, again, Cody Walker, Menno match. Menno the round.
I'd be picking him. He's been playing that well. You pick a player in form, I'd pick him.
Anyway. Oh, look, it's, you know, I see your logic. I just don't think it'll happen.
Anyway, no, probably not. Saturday, 13 April. Oh, Fittler said something about him in the thing. Yeah. He said he put the perfect game together. That's what you want to see from a 5-8. So usually when Fittler leaks stuff to the media, it happens because he's an idiot. So anyway, moving on. Saturday, 13 April, Sea Eagles 26 defeating the Knights 18. Muffy.
I'm done tipping the Knights at home, Pete. Yeah, I'm done.
Me too. I'm with you. I've done the same thing. By the way, I've tipped them again this week. Spoiler alert.
Nah, done. At home. Maybe outside.
They're away.
Away. Yeah, I'll think about it away. Manly got out to 18-0 lead in this game in the first 20 minutes. Just come out of the blocks with tries to Ruben Garrick, who I hadn't seen him really play before. Like, I obviously knew that he was scoring some tries, but he's a fair unit.
Yeah.
He's a fair
got
winger.
Some good size.
Yeah. And one of your favourites, Pete, Jorge, scored the first try.
Yeah, it's good old Jorge.
Did well. And Joel Thompson in the second row just finds his way over the line. Jake Trbojevic, which was obviously excellent in this game as well. Yeah, look, the Seagulls, I'm surprised that they're playing as well as they are without Tommy at the back. They seem to play
won their last three games.
Yeah. I hope that's not an omen for poor old Tommy.
Well, Tommy was responsible for two of those wins, wasn't he?
One and a half.
One and a half. 41 minutes of one of the games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just before the break, the Knights actually scored with powerhouse Edric Lee gets over again. I don't know. I honestly don't know how this guy keeps on the field and keeps scoring tries. He's not good.
No.
He might play for Queensland this year.
I hope he does. That would be great if he plays for Queensland.
Mm. Yeah, he will drop a lot of football.
Yeah. So then second half came around. Seagulls got another one. Not before the Knights staged a slightly, a bit of a comeback. Kalen Ponga back at the fullback spot. And that's, you know, I think everyone knew that's where he should be. And he proved in this game that that is the spot that he has to be in this team. Completion rate, 71% for the Knights, so they weren't completing it properly. 80% for the Seagulls. It wasn't a great game. It was a bit scrappy. There was a fair few missed tackles, about even amount on both sides. But look, for the Seagulls, for Dez, he hasn't really been talked about during the season this year, old Dez. The Seagulls are sort of flown under the radar, and everyone, you know, including myself, thought that they were going to be a pretty lackluster team this year, and you know, I think they're in the bottom of the eight now, just from, you know, stringing some wins together. So I think the reverse. I think the Knights are the ones that are in trouble, and I'm not going to spoil Pete because I know we're going to talk about it later. But I think the Knights are in trouble.
I agree. Pulsey, anything there?
Oh, you didn't read the
No,
right
not
shit?
Really.
Okay,
not
good.
Really.
All right, moving on. Saturday, 13 April, Roosters 30 defeating the Sharks 16 in a scoreline that really does make the Sharks look a lot better than they should. Roosters were all over the Sharks in this game for the first 50 minutes. Early battle at the start of the game. Both sides really couldn't crack each other until Cooper Cronk, backing up as one of the best halves that he is and does, was a phenomenal backup play, which he always used to do at the Storms. Now does it for the Roosters. Got over right under the posts. Keary then set up a excellent Latrell Mitchell try right at the end of a half. Kicking the ball wide, Latrell caught the ball, running down the sideline, beats the defender, and then ran over, put the ball down, easy try. Kick the goal, they go in 12-0 at the break, and then it was a blitz to start the first 10 minutes of the second half. Three straight tries. Tedesco just running over the top of people. He made them look silly. He was absolutely killing them as well. Boyd Cordner ran through some pretty poor defense. And then Ikuvalu scored one out wide, and Latrell put it put the finishing touches, and 30-0 before the Sharks even knew what happened. Sharks then got a couple of tries late on. Josh Morris got one. Sean Johnson got a lucky one as well. And then Jack Williams went over in the last minute of the game. But this just was the Roosters dominating in this game, and it was all over with 30 minutes to go. Sharks got some late tries. That's about it, really.
Yeah, a bit of garbage time stuff, but yeah, Roosters, as we thought, are looking on song.
Yeah, they're looking very good. All right, moving on. Sunday, 14 April, Dragons 40, defeating the Bulldogs 4. Fullsy.
Yeah, what a drumming. Muffy, what the poor Bulldogs.
Oh, we're back to round two, Pete. We're back to the start of the year.
We both tipped them, too.
We were turning a corner, and all of a sudden,
it was very dumb.
We're back at the bottom of the table again.
Anyway.
Yeah, the Dogs were never up to this, and once the floodgates opened, it was just a bloodbath. Apart from the Ben Hunt show, the Dragons pack was the difference. I don't know if you can point out a difference in 40-4, but they were very good. Not much more to say here, to be honest, but I will say the Dogs are young, inexperienced, and it's definitely a building year. They've got all those issues with the cap and who they can and can't get, four runs out injured. So if I was a fan... If I was a Muffy, I actually wouldn't be too upset, and I think this will happen time to time this year.
Well, and again, when you've got, you know, when your depth is tested already just due to, as you mentioned, Fulsey, the salary cap, when you have some key players out like Fora and Napa, those guys, you know, it hurts because you're really relying on no injuries for a season to try and, you know, that's your best team you can put on the park, and even that team is probably, you know, it probably can beat any team on the day, but it's going to be pretty tough. They've all, everything's got to work together for that team to win. So when you've got a whole lot of you know, subs coming in, it's going to be a bit difficult. But hey, hopefully they can, you know, it doesn't start a massive slide. Like, they turned it around after 2 weeks, so I think it's going to be very up and down year, as in absolutely flogged. You know, eke out a few wins that no one thought they could do, but, you know, get absolutely hammered by some other teams. So, welcome to the year of the pooch.
Anyway, all right, moving on. Sunday, 14 April, Raiders 19 defeating the Eels 0 in another win for my boys.
This is getting monotonous.
Yeah,
playing this bloody song over again.
It's time to change this. This should be a Panthers one when they win.
When's that going to win?
I don't know.
We'll just have a little roar.
I'll find something.
Meow, just a cat meow.
Otherwise, we'll be listening to this all year.
Let's hope so.
Go on, Pete. Crap on about your Raiders. Tell us what they did.
Look, I'm not going to be overly positive about the Raiders, despite the fact that they won 19-0.
Oh, my goodness.
Have the Raiders ever...
been good in your eyes?
No, but this is that. Have the Raiders ever held... two teams to zip throughout one season?
Look, I don't know.
Let alone in the first 5 weeks, five rounds of a competition.
I think they have, but I think the stat was since 1990 is the last time we won a grand final. No, second last time we won a grand final.
Yeah.
1990 was the last time we did that. Held a team to zip twice in a season.
And they definitely wouldn't have done it in the first 5 weeks of the season.
No, definitely not. So, yeah. No, look... it was very good defensively. The Eels let the Raiders off a fair bit, though. They were not at their absolute best. But I think the Raiders' defense this year has been excellent, and the Raiders' defense in the game. They put a lot of pressure on teams with a hard tackling style. They still let teams get easy meters, but guys like Bateman, Sutton, they really hit people very, very hard.
Those two guys...
Oh, God. Anyway, moving
Bateman
on.
Sutton are
Bateman Sutton.
Hey, not busting
well,
the air, people.
Well, lads, is all right, eh, yes?
And you throw in our mate Elliot, and I tell
oh,
you
Oh, my
what,
goodness, all English affair
bam,
in bam, that
thank you,
ma'am,
I know.
You guys are the worst.
You brought them up, Pete.
Yeah,
your problem.
That. Yeah, I did start that. anyway, the Raiders had 70% of possession in the first half and really couldn't convert and were struggling to convert. Papali eventually went over. The Raiders have a tendency to try run everything through the forwards to score tries, and sometimes it doesn't work too well for us. Jack Whiten was pretty rocks in this game, dropped the ball a lot, but he did score a pretty sweet try of a kick. Elliot Whitehead got over for a try as well.
Yeah.
And Sam Williams put the icing on the cake with a field goal. Ferguson copped a little knock to the nose from Bateman's head. And his nose, whilst it was not good before, now is horrendous.
Yeah. It is so far off the... It's not even close to the center of his face anymore.
It was pretty bad, and that was hampering him. And then he copped a rib injury as well. So Ferguson really struggled, and without him, it showed for the Eels. They really did struggle to get out of their end, and their attack struggled as well without him, which was difficult. Good win for the Raiders. Still things that they can work on, but shutting out a team was good.
Where does that put them? Second or third?
Third. Roosters are second. Storms are first.
Right.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of round five. Now we've got a couple of questions we're going to ask.
Oh, I've got to... Hang on.
Ooh, the sports trend.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was...
Now ask away, Pete.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
I was going to say, oh, we're asking questions, but hang on, I got to do...
Anyway, a couple of things, boys. Last week we asked, are the Broncos going to get it together? I said they would. They're definitely not. They look horrendous, and they looked horrendous last week, and they've got a tough game this week.
What's pretty interesting about those guys, like I think I mentioned last week, they're very young, but even people I don't think realise that Milford, who's probably trying to lead the side with a pretty bad dummy half and fullback, he's only 24. He's the same age as these guys we consider young halves in Brooks and Moses and Ash Taylor. So just being young, I think, hurts this side.
Yeah. Milford's only 24.
Really? Yeah.
He's been in the league for, seems, what? He's been in the league for, what, 5 years?
Yeah, he came in at 19, 18, 19.
He did come in young. I didn't realize he was still only 24. Anyway, there you go. The other question we asked was, will the Penriths win against the Tigers spark their season? I said it was going to. It doesn't look like it. So, no, that's not likely. Are the Eels legitimate finals hopes? Looks like it's borderline after the weekend. Having said that, I think the Raiders are a better side than what they faced most of the start of the year.
And I still think the Eels are, you know, a genuine contender for that top eight. I think bottom of the top eight, but I think they'll be there or thereabouts.
Anyway. All right. Yeah, no, I agree. There's a few other questions though for this week, boys. Is Nathan Brown in trouble of getting sacked?
Yes.
Yep.
One word answer, absolutely.
Yeah, I think he is as well.
Yeah.
I think that Knight side is looking bad at the moment, and they should be a lot better than they are.
Yeah, 100%. He's had, is this his third year now?
Yes.
And he's built the team supposedly how, you know, players that he wanted, and, you know, you got Kalyn Ponga. Just use Kalyn Ponga where he's the best.
Well, he screwed up the start of the year, and so he cost himself probably two games to start the season, and then by not playing him in the fullback role, and now all of a sudden they're, you know, 1-4.
Yep.
It's not looking good.
Well, that's, you know, they're the same as
the Broncos.
They're the same as the Broncos, the Bulldogs, the Titans, and the Cowboys. When you look at, you know, those three teams, everyone's talking about how bad they're going. And no one's talking about the Knights as yet, but they're on the same, you know, points. For and against is obviously different. Yeah, I think Nathan Brown is you know, I thought Mary was going to be in trouble at the start of the year. St. George is starting, you know, just starting to eke out some wins. He's sort of out of the spotlight.
They won three in a row.
But I think Nathan Brown is the one in the firing line for sure.
All right. All right, moving on. Next question. Are the Raiders top four material?
No. Too early to say. I think I picked them for the eight, and I think they'll definitely make the eight. I think it's a bit early to say that they're a lock for the top four. But in saying that, look, they keep winning. They have played some difficult teams. But I don't think they're going to be a top four team. I think they'll definitely be top eight, but I think they're going to slide out of the top four.
Yeah, the winner traditionally comes from the top four, so yes, they have to be, you'd think, if history, when they win.
Look, you and Matt are backing them. Shout out to Matt, who's a friend of the show.
They're too good.
Are saying they're going to win the comp. That's outrageous.
I think so. I think they're a real shot. Melbourne and Roosters are definitely probably the top two. And then South is
the Raiders, I think.
Exactly. I honestly don't see anyone else.
I don't see anyone else either. The only other one I think maybe could be St. George. Based on the way they've played the last three
weeks. They'll fade. That's always St. George. Something's going to happen with DeBell and it'll get distracting. They're going to lose Frizzell and Vaughan and stuff over Origin.
I agree, but that's probably the only other one I think form-wise playing well at the moment. I think they're the only other one. But, yeah, I'm going to say yes. So, based on my answers last week, it's probably...
You just put the mockers on.
Yeah, well exactly. All right, boys, final one is who's going to win the spoon? Bulldogs, Titans, and Cowboys are probably the red-hot favourites at the moment between those three. But do we have any dark horses? Do we think the Broncos or Knights could be that team?
I think the first three are definitely, you know, they're the three favourites. I think the Knights could be the one that might slip down there in contention at some point if they don't turn it around, because the Knights seem to be one of those teams. I mean, most teams are, but they need confidence, and they had it at the end of last year when they, you know, had a really good season compared to the year before. But if they start, you know, going down this slippery slope, then yeah, I think the Knights could be in trouble. But in saying that, I think the Titans are going to take it out. I think the Dogs will have enough fight in them just to get in 15th, and I think the Titans will be the one that'll take the spoon this year.
Fulsey's team lost to the Titans anyway.
They did. Nonetheless, I'm going to agree. I think it's the Titans. Titans are bad. They could get worse over Origin because I have a few of their better players in Origin side. So, yeah, they're dead.
All right. Let's move on then, shall we, to the round 6 preview.
The Sports Trench.
Thank you, madam. Thursday, 18 April, Sharks versus the Panthers at PointsBet Stadium. For the Sharks, Gallen returns with Jack Williams moving to the bench. For the Panthers, Tim Grant replaces Regan Campbell-Gillard in the starting lineup. Wade Egan returns, pushing Katoa to the bench. Sharks have won 10 of the last 12 against the Panthers. Panthers don't look good. Sharks don't look good either at the moment with no Moylan. I'm dipping the Sharks by 4, but I've got no confidence. Like, I have no idea who's going to win this game.
Yeah, me either. I can see maybe the Panthers winning, but I don't know. They've been bad. But the Sharks game last week was nonsense. They should have called that game off after 60 minutes. So I don't know. But I guess I'll go Panthers by 2. Just because it's on free to air, I can't be watching that and go, oh, I hope they lose.
That's fair. That's reasonable. Murphy.
Yeah, this is not an easy one to pick. They're both, you know, not playing great. I'm just going to stick to, because it's at the stadium formerly known as Ramondas, I'm going to go with the Sharks by 4.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Friday, 19 April, Bulldogs versus the Rabbitohs. Murphy.
Sweeping changes for the Bulldogs? No. Just the one. Suaso Su, as you mentioned earlier, Pete, is suspended. So Danny Fulaulalu comes into the team. For the Rabbits, they've just got a slight little moving around. George Burgess will come into the starting lineup at prop. Junior Totolo goes back to the bench. Kyle Turner will stay in the centres. And Jacob Gagan's been named in the reserves. Obviously, Greg Inglis is not in this side anymore. So do we think that maybe Kyle Turner is a permanent fixture in the centres
now? No, I think once Corey Allen and Braden Burns are both back, those guys will be available to fill those spots.
Well, good Friday clash, traditional clash between these two teams. There's been some crackers over the years, some fiery clashes and some blowouts and some tight ones. Oh, geez, I hope this is going to be a tight game, but I don't think it is. I think the Rabbits are just absolutely... Particularly if Cody Walker comes out and plays like he did last week, we're in big trouble here. I think the Rabbits will win, but I'm going to go only by 8 because it's on Good Friday and hopefully the Dogs will fire up a bit. But I'm going to go Rabbits by 8.
I think the Dogs will bounce back after that pantsing last week. I've also got the Rabbitohs by 8. I think the Rabbitohs can leak in points. Like they are not a strong defensive side. And so they are prone to letting teams score. They've just got so much firepower that I think they'll just outperform the Bulldogs in the end.
Yeah, I think they'll win by 2 tries and a goal, 14.
Okay.
And just on that, where are we watching this, boys? Because I think, are we all together at Easter time?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Good excitement.
Excellent.
Look, I think, yes, we are all together. As long as partners allow people to watch the game at 4 o'clock as a group.
Partners, right. As in your wife falls in.
Yeah, she'll be right.
All right, well, that's unlucky. Falsey's going to be in trouble. Anyway, Friday, 19 April, Storms versus the Roosters at AB Park. Muffy.
Oh, double good Friday, Pete.
Yep.
You've made it a great Friday.
Yep.
Big news, Pete, for the Storms. Guess who's coming into the team after 400... No. What is it? It's something like 1,000 days or something away. Shandor Earl comes onto the wing for the Melbourne Storm.
You've got some bad mail.
Yes,
there.
You have. That was last week.
It's this week. He's back. He played last week.
Suli Asi Vunivalu is back this week. No. Did you paste last week's teams?
No, I don't think so.
You just read really badly. Just one check.
You just figure out what you're doing.
You read it in reverse.
He's coming back. Anyway, what's the other team? The Roosters. Fred Fittler's coming on the bench for the Roosters. Minicello is making a return at fullback. This is going to be a good game.
Adrian Walker.
Pushing Tedesco to the wing. Adrian Lamb comes out of retirement. Who's in this team? Who knows? JWH is coming back, I think. Tenovano goes back to lock. Oh, Louise out. Yeah, there's a few players in and out. Storms Roosters, blockbuster.
Absolutely, but you've just ruined, you've killed the whole vibe of the whole thing.
No, you've made it better.
Well,
I tell you what, in fairness, I bet Shandor Earl forgets that he played last week because he was
awful. Was so bad, wasn't he?
Oh, my goodness.
He was horrendous. He was not good at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to go the Roosters by 6 in this one in a bit of an upset. I think the Storms generally will beat the Roosters at home, but I think the Roosters are a better side.
I'm going to go the Storms just because it's down there. And I think, you know, Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, clash.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
Storms by 4.
Storms on a Brody Croft field goal.
1 point. Yeah, yep. That's fair. I like it. All right, moving on to Saturday, 20 April, Warriors versus the Cowboys at Mount Smart. Fulzy.
Green is back in for the Warriors with Beal moving out of the side. For the Cowboys, they'll welcome back Bolton in for Jensen, and Jussie O will make a return for Nene McDonald on the wing. The Warriors, as you said, actually looked pretty solid last week. Green in hopefully should only help that, and I like him at home by 6.
I heard Greg Alexander was going to be in for the Warriors. Look, I'm going to go the...
Stacey Jones, actually.
Stacey Jones, yeah. Oh, right, okay. I'm going to go the Warriors by 8.
Yeah, the Warriors have played well in the last couple of weeks. I'll go them by 10.
Saturday, 20 April, Dragons versus Seagulls at Jubilee. Fulzy.
No changes for either side. Look, call me crazy.
Sorry, my bad.
Call me crazy, but I like Manly here. DCE is playing incredibly well. The big forwards for Manly can put pressure through the middle. Obviously, Aladdin being out is a big loss, but Martin Taupau, in my opinion, has been a bit underused and might get some more minutes as a result. They love an offload. I can see an upset, and I'll tip it by 4.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go the Dragons by 6. I think the Dragons have been playing better quality sides than what the Seagulls have, and I think the Dragons really put a bad side to the sword last week, and so I think they're going to get up this week.
I'm going with Fulzy. I'm going to go the Seagulls, and I'm going to go them by 4 as well.
This could make or break my season here in the tipping comp. I'm going a lot of different ones here. Anyway... All right, moving on then. Sunday, 21 April, Titans versus the Knights at Cbus Super. Muffy.
Jared Wallace is out for 2 weeks suspension. Shannon Boyd will come back in from a hamstring injury. Kevin Gordon starts on the wing. Philip Sammy goes back to the bench. And AJ Brimson has a broken thumb.
Broken digit.
I picked it up.
I think Pete missed it. For the Knights, there's only one change. Herman Esse is named on the bench, and he'll replace back row Aiden Guerra, who, as we mentioned, busted his fatibula.
Oh,
Well, it's his fibula and his tibula is fibula.
Yeah, I believe that's the collective noun, actually. No,
I don't
yeah.
think so, but anyway.
God, this is just the anti-blockbuster. It's up there in Seabus Super Stadium. Titans Knights, God, who knows, honestly. I'm going to go the Knights away from home because they're doing nothing at home, so let's go the Knights by 6.
Yeah, I've gone the Knights by 6 as well, and that's just going to be a horrendous decision by me.
Knights by 4, if the Knights weren't feeling bad enough about their season, they are actually the betting outsider in this game at $1.97.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Sunday, 21 April, Raiders versus the Broncos at GIO. Fulsy.
Yeah, Raiders will win this. obviously, they're going to get the chip as well, so...
Okay. Calm down.
All right, sorry. Collins is in for Tapene, who's out injured for quite some time. Haas will move to prop for Matt Lodge. Fifita will go to lock. Hiromu Shibasaki is on the bench. Yeah, I'm not loving the lack of changes for Brisbane, but I am loving the NRL's best defense from the Raiders. Just 44 points conceded all year. Raiders by 8, and they might not lose again this year.
Okay, stop making outlandish statements and putting the mock on my team. Yeah, look, I think the Raiders by 4 in this one. Going to be an interesting game, though. The Broncos really need a win, so I think they're going to be desperate.
Raiders by 4, Blaze, Bake, Raiders by 12. This is a Sunday afternoon special.
1,200, maybe.
Oh, they're going to put them to the sword.
Yeah,
here,
bye. Right,
moving on. Monday, 22 April, Eels versus the Tigers at Bankwest Stadium. First game, boys, at Bankwest.
Oh, the
well,
new one.
Back at Bankwest, anyway. Back at Parramatta Stadium.
Yeah, it looks good. I've seen the little walkthroughs that they've done online.
Have you seen the video circulating on Twitter? Well, the video, the picture circulating on Twitter that you can't see half the field because there's a wall in the way?
No.
Apparently, they don't sell those seats. I'm like, so why do you have seats there if they're behind a wall? It makes no sense to me.
Sorry, why?
Quiet time?
Yeah. There's a wall there.
So you can half see the field, but there's like a wall sort of covering the half when you look at it from this angle.
Well,
like,
that's just stupid.
Yeah, I know. It is absolutely stupid. But they don't sell those seats. What are those seats for?
I'll tell you what they're for.
What are they for?
That wall's for White Walkers.
Okay. You're do, 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 oh, do, do, all right. Do, let's move on. Do. Eels, two changes to the bench with Oregon Kafusi and Ray Stone replacing Kane Evans and David Gower on the bench.
Ray Fulsy. Stone.
Oregon Kafusi.
Oregano Kafusi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
First try scorer, you reckon?
Oh, a couple. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Good. For the Tigers, they're unchanged. This is a real tough game to pick as well, boys. The Eels are going to want to get back a game after last week, particularly being beat to nil. Home stadium, first game.
It's got to give them a
big
lift in the pants, doesn't it, Pete?
You'd think so. Tigers beat an underwhelming Broncos. I'm going to go the Eels by 4.
I'm going to go the Eels by 6 just because it's, you know, new stadium. There'll be a lot of hype. There'll be, I'm assuming it'll be full house bar those wall seats. Mm. And when's this game? Easter Monday?
Yes.
Yeah, so good, 4 o'clock. Yeah, I think it'll be a full stadium. Yeah, Eels by 6.
Eels by a couple.
Just a couple.
Yep.
And did you see where they don't come out of a tunnel? Have you seen this in the new stadium? They walk basically out into a big room and then there's a whole bunch of members and stuff on the outsides of the room and they walk through, sort of similar to like in cricket in Lords where you walk through the members area and stuff.
Oh, right.
You walk through the room.
Yeah, right.
So that's what they're doing at Bankwest. So the home team walks through the...
The room.
Through the room.
That's stupid.
Well, you haven't seen it yet. You'll probably like
it. Nah, I hate it.
All right. Okay, good. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the round 6 preview. Let's talk a little bit about Supercoach. We might just talk about it.
The Sports Trenches Fantasy cut over Overview. There.
Gotta be quick, Pete.
Yeah.
Look, we might just talk about some players to get in this week. I don't think we have time to go through all the results from the weekend, mainly because I lost both leagues as well, so let's not talk about
Who'd
it.
Who'd you lose them to?
No, I don't want to talk
about
it.
Yeah, one of them was me.
Oh, really? That's a bit of a surprise. Any must-have players this week, boys?
The Warriors... Half, I think. Yeah, I mean, I held the other one, so I think I'll just swap them out.
Yeah, that's what I've done. I think that's a no-brainer.
Yep. Mm.
What do we think of Jerry?
I'm leaving him. I'm bringing Ponga instead.
Yeah.
I'm happy with my cash.
I'm not getting him either. I think he's very good. Very concerned if Moylan's back next week.
Round 10.
Round 10.
For Matthew, yes.
Maybe so, I have to get him. I just don't know. He literally bombed two absolute sitters of tries.
Yeah, the thing is, for me at least, I would rather have Caelan Ponga at this stage.
I've got Caelan. I already did that.
Yeah.
Come on, mate.
But there's so many keepers in the centre wing that were so cheap that now it's just tweaking with your side, and I'm happy to bring Ponga
unless
as a reserve.
There's not too many. I mean, like the cash cows in the centre wings, that they're still going, they're still making money, so there's no point getting rid of them just for very...
Yeah,
like, Garrick's still making cash.
Little money, not big money anymore.
Ravalawa should keep making
money. Yeah, he's the one making big
Garrick
money.
Sivu, he's probably getting towards the end of his cash making. But again, he could then turn around and do another, you know, couple of try a game and
absolutely
be back in there again, so...
Mm. All right. Tipping comp, Foolsy.
Yep, same three fellas at the top here again. We've got Tip of the Bat.
Rangers still in front.
Mr. Rangers, he's out by one. The Hot Snakes, Chris, they're just one behind. Mm. And so is the Premium Den.
You.
Matthew.
Matt. Yes, yeah. I had a bad week this week. It was not good. I think I tipped four. So,
that's
not going to get it done.
But you're second out of the trench, people, at 10th. I am 13th, one behind you, and Muffy is not last, five behind me.
He's in last still. Yes, second last.
He's five behind me,
who
is second last out of our trenches.
Oh, out of the trench, but is he still in last?
I'm still in last.
He's still in last.
I'm only 1 point off last. I'm only in...
1 point off equal last.
Yeah,
you're 2 points off not being last.
You were four behind, though, Muffy. At one point.
Now I'm five behind.
Now you're five behind.
From me.
It was rubbish tipping before.
Mm.
As in, this week, the weekend was hard tipping.
Is that the problem? It was difficult this week.
Yeah, difficult.
I feel bad for you.
Nah,
anyway,
you'll come good, mate.
All right, let's move on then to Simona says Grevis should gamble.
Oh, I haven't teed that up yet, Pete.
Oh, could you tee that up for me?
Sure.
That'd be good.
But hang on.
If you're not going to follow the rules of the segment, you're not allowed an intro anyway.
There's no rules.
There's rules.
No, you made
there
it up.
There
were
that's
rules
rubbish. That we agreed to.
No, they were not agreed
they
to.
They were
your
strongly
trash.
Endorsed
no.
by all of us.
Show me the money! What you gonna do, Gary? Show me the money!
There were no rules. You're a disgrace.
No.
Anyway, I got up again last week because I'm a winner. So,
what'd you have?
It was the Storms -3.5 into the Bunnies -3.5.
Yeah, so real risks there.
Well, they were because the Bunnies had to score a last minute try to get me over the line.
They did.
So it was a big risk.
$1.03 there
for
the punters?
No, it was $2.12. And I took my $2.12 because out of the three of us, there's only been two winners.
Yes.
And I have one.
Yeah.
And you have one.
Yeah.
So there's one panel member not holding up his end of the bargain.
Yeah,
in
Rangers.
The last 12 months.
Yeah, yeah. Been here for
it's
months.
Definitely Rangers. So Muffy, what do you have to say for yourself?
What are you talking about?
You haven't had a winner in over 12 months.
Yeah, but he's being mature about this and playing.
Neither
by
had
the
you
rules.
Until just gone.
Ooh.
Hey, I have a winner.
Shots fired.
I'll get a winner if that's what we're playing.
See, I'm getting him out of your rules here, Halsey.
No, we're standing in solidarity.
No,
we're making the people real money.
He's got zero winners.
Well, I don't care. I'm going to be the change I want to see in this world. Real money.
All right, well, what I got this week, I've gone for odds of $3.28.
Oh, wow.
Mm, yep, stepping up. I'm going with Edric Lee, anytime try scorer, into David Fusatua, anytime try scorer. I think both of those guys will get tries at the weekend.
Mm.
So I reckon you multi them up, $3.28. Free money. Mm. And that's what we want, Foolsy. We want free money.
Mm.
Anyway, same game multi this week. Garth texted me during the show. That was lucky.
Oh.
So we're going with the Cronulla Panthers game. We've gone over 37.5 match points.
Nah.
No.
Nah. It's going to be, at best, a slog fest.
DWZ, anytime try scorer?
Nah.
Yeah.
Dead.
P- Panthers 1-12, big win, little win.
So Panthers. He's up on the Panthers now. Panthers, this is dead. Already cooked already, this one.
Panthers halftime margin 1-4.
Sorry, mate. I'm cooked. I'm hard out.
Time of first try, 7 minutes 59 or earlier.
Nah. I think you got to give none from five there, Garb. I'm sorry, pal.
I reckon he's going to go 3 out of 5. I think the two Panthers ones are dead.
Can you bet the exact opposite of all that?
You could.
You probably could, couldn't you?
So then you'd have to
You probably can't bet DWZ not to score a try.
No, but you could back the fullback from the Sharks to score a try.
But I don't want it.
But that's the opposite.
I just want to be contrary.
So that is the opposite, though. You back the fullback from the Sharks to score. You go unders. Mm. You go Sharks 1-12. Sharks 1-4. And time of first try, 8 minutes or later.
Oh, that doesn't sound that bad. But I don't have money for this kind of frivolity.
Yes,
so I'll
you do. I reckon we you put on one and Garth puts on his one and we'll see who comes out in front.
Oh, forget. So he's come out on front already.
Okay, good. All right, lads. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks very much for tuning in, as always, people out there. Really do appreciate it. Gents, enjoy the footy this weekend.
Will do, Pete.
Oh, God. Look at you, folks.
Oh, what a show.
Anyway.
So, yes, we'll be seeing each other, what, in 2 days' time?
Yeah, Friday. we'll be buds.
We'll liquor up, yep. Watch the footy.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, yep. Sounds good. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay,
everybody.
Bye.
Good everyone. Have a happy Easter.
Oh, yeah, happy Easter.
Swords and stuff. Swords, boobs, and blood.
Yes. My three favorite things.